Yo, what's good, everybody? Yo, what's good? Welcome to another edition of the Sit Down, your man Earl B. First and foremost, I want to tell y'all something. Never ever give up on your dream, all right? Never ever give up on your dream. I don't care what your mama say. I don't care what your daddy say. I don't care what your brother, your sister, your aunties. I don't care what your friends say. Never ever give up on your dream. Because let me tell you something. The Bible says that your dream, your gifts will make room for you. So make sure that you never give up on your dream, all right? Today I got an informative show today. First off, before I even introduce the speaker of the hour, I want y'all to know something. Get rid of dream killers. I'm just letting you know. Right out the gate. Get rid of dream killers, all right? Anybody that's crucial and critical, anyone that's always negative, anybody who always got something bad to say about any situation, get the hell away from them, all right? Because I'm telling you, that will rub off on you, all right? So today, like I said, I got a special guest in the building, all right? I want to thank everybody who's been tuning in to the Sit Down, number one. You know, you can catch the Sit Down on Spotify, Google Play, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, Overcast, and for everybody with Apple products, yeah, dig me now. Your boy's on that Apple podcast, so make sure y'all go check out the Sit Down. This podcast is sponsored by Africana Art. Right here, location one building. Make sure y'all go holler at Byron. So if you want something for your office, your home, if you really want some real authentic African art, make sure you come right here. Location one building, African art. This podcast is also sponsored by Cascade Media Group, all right? Cascade Sports. I'm talking about what's up, KC, what's up? What's up, world? Also, this podcast is sponsored by the Kansas City Business Association, and your boy just so happened to be the newest member. So let me tell y'all today I'm honored, because you know, every single time I've asked this woman to do anything for me, she ain't never told me no. And I'm batting a pretty good damn batting percentage right now. I'm batting a good one. But let me tell y'all about this. Let me tell y'all about this lady. She's the founding partner of Stacy Shaw and Associates LLC. She's a native of Wichita, Kansas. Dig this resume. She graduated from Harris Stowe State University in St. Louis. Member of Delta Sigma Theta. Oh my God. Alpha Omega chapter. Y'all feel me? Y'all smell that footage she's coming with? Y'all smell? Graduated magna cum laude. So y'all know she's smart as hell. That's all that is. You know. With a passion for providing legal services to all. I'm talking about, I have the pleasure of having a good friend of mine. And trust me, she done bailed me out too. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to keep it real with you. I got Stacy Shaw on the show today.
Hey,
Stacy!
Oh my gosh, what an introduction.
Hey, you know what? if I lose my job, I got a job with introducing people.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Come up just a little bit. There we go. So, Stacy, I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity right now. I know you're busy. I'm going to just get right to it. I know that you have so many different things going on. I know you got a lot that's happening within the community. And first of all, I want to ask you this question right here. What does community mean to you?
I think this is the first time anyone has asked me that. When I think about the community, I just think of all of us because so much of my community is diverse and diverse races, backgrounds. I'm from the country, so I'm a country girl. So, you know, backgrounds, beliefs, religions. And so it's really important right now that we understand community as all of us. So much is happening right now. Our voices and our advocacy is changing everything.
Absolutely.
And so community is all of us.
So, Stacey, first, how long have you been practicing law?
Oh my gosh, over a decade.
Okay.
I just calculated. I was like, oh my gosh, I've been since 2019. I'm licensed in Texas and Missouri. So my first license was in Texas.
Oh my goodness. So you doing it all, girl.
Man, just trying to make it. Just trying to make it.
So let me ask you this, Stacey. Why is it so important for you to get so attached to the young people with this protest? Talk to me about
this. So you're talking, oh man, you're talking my language. Well, it's interesting because when I went down, so the whole reason why I went to the protest, because I had already agreed to represent protesters that were being arrested pro bono.
Oh man.
And so the first day that I went was Sunday, so I had gone down to my office on Sunday to meet with people that had gotten arrested protesting.
Okay.
And my youngest sister's 9 years younger than me, and she's a prosecutor in Houston.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, graduated from Thurgood Marshall, magna cum laude as well.
Oh, let me give her a round of applause. Look at that. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So she was, so she said she wanted to go to the protest, and I said, okay, well, I'll go with you so you are not alone. And so my office is right on 39th Street.
Okay.
And the protesters marched right past my office.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
So I just joined in the protest. I had a bullhorn, and I started doing call and response. So I would call out Black Lives Matter, and then they would repeat it. And then it just got so we got to the front of the protest and we were leading the protest by the time we got down to the plaza. And when we got there, it was very scary.
What did you see, Stacey? Give me some graphics here. I mean, I rolled through there, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, a couple times. I rolled through. But tell me, I mean, because you were right in the midst of this thing helping these youngsters.
So, because when I joined the march, I started seeing that all of, and I'm going to call them kids because everyone there was really under 25. So these young people were the same ages as my clients' kids, my colleagues' kids, my friends' kids.
Yes.
And so I saw all these very young people and we were marching and I didn't think anything of it until we started marching past militarized zones.
Oh, wow.
And so the Quick Trip on Main was militarized. It was lined with police officers and riot gear.
Yes.
And so when we passed by them, I started, because I had the bullhorn, we started chanting hands up, don't shoot, and you saw all of these protesters marching with their hands up.
Absolutely.
Because we were marching past a Quick Trip, that's, you know, their last stand, I guess. Trying to protect the Quick Trip. And so then when we got to the plaza, there were at least 50 that there were so many police officers that were in riot gear with shields.
Yes.
And when we got up there, they were beating their shields with billy clubs. And so they were beating their shields with billy clubs. And there were all these
sitting off intimidation.
Yes. It was so scary. And one person from the back threw a bottle of water. Now, these young people are just armed with bottles of water. So they would unscrew the cap a little bit.
Absolutely.
So when they threw it, it would just splash on the ground and get the officers wet.
Absolutely.
But there weren't any weapons. There weren't any cans or frozen stuff. It's so hot out there. Nothing could be frozen.
Right.
And so the whole tactic was to get the officers wet with this water.
Absolutely.
And so then a protester had gone right up to the police officer, probably about a foot away from him, and was yelling and shaking a sign.
Yeah.
The officer takes out this big can of Super Mace.
Oh my goodness.
And starts spraying this kid in the face.
No way.
And after 3 seconds, you could see his friends pulling him away from the officer trying to shield him.
Yeah.
And so I jumped in front of the protester to stop the police officer.
You jumped in front of the mace?
I jumped in front of the mace. All I could, I just, because after 3 seconds, imagine 1-1,000, 2-1,000,
yeah.
3-1,000.
Yeah. And they still spraying you?
They were still, that's how long it was when they were spraying this kid. Wow. And so when I jumped in front of him, I just saw the person, and I wasn't even thinking. I just jumped in front of the mace and had them mace me. And so they maced me all down my hair, my neck, my back, my arms. And I say it's super mace because it is more powerful than the regular mace that they use. Yeah. And it is hotter than the hottest habanero pepper that I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
And it's just clinging to your skin because it's oil-based.
Yes.
And so it was hot, of course.
Absolutely.
And so it was just, it was the most painful thing that I've ever experienced.
Man, and I've heard this. I'm going to tell you what pissed me off, Stacey. I'm going to just be real with you. You know what I'm saying? This is the sit down. So I'm just saying, if you want to cuss, you can cuss.
Thank
I'm
you. Because I have a lot of F-bombs.
So I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to just let you know right now. This is what pissed me the hell off.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching on television, and it was kids, 8, 9, and 10 years old. These white racist cops set off tear gas in front of these kids. This is what pissed me off. I was here in the office. It made me so mad. I went downstairs. I did a live, and people were telling me, "Earl, you can't get down there because it's just so crazy, right? You know, it's so crazy." Piss me off, Stacey. And come to find out, one of the guys that I smoked cigars with was one of his damn grandkids.
Let me tell
you. That was why I was really pissed.
I met a 15-year-old that was projectile super maced in the face for no reason. Terrence Maddox's daughter.
Yes.
She was 15.
Big shout out to Terrence. That's my boy. Yeah. I seen him when you did the live. Mm-hmm. I wanted to come down there so bad, but I was in my pajamas, Stacey.
That's okay. That's okay. That's why we went live. That's why we went live, because so many of these stories were not being told. And it was important for me to be down there because I'm just seeing these kids.
Yes.
And I feel like these could be my kids.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And there were no police negotiators. There were no police mediators. And as a lawyer, I said, so I finally said, after I got maced, and I said, you know what? If y'all gonna mace people, you're gonna have to mace me first.
Absolutely.
Because this is ridiculous. These are children out here. And so I was standing there like Auntie Stacey. I was standing there, and I had my law firm t-shirt on. And so I asked to speak with the officer in charge.
Yeah.
I said, I'm Attorney Stacey Shaw. I need to speak with the officer in charge or the negotiator. They had no idea who was in charge.
Are you kidding me?
They had no idea. The person that I talked to first said they didn't know. I said, well, then you need to go find the person in charge.
Absolutely.
Because I need to speak with them.
Absolutely.
And so then they appointed Officer Karen. And I said, okay, what are the rules of engagement?
Absolutely.
First question.
Absolutely.
They didn't have rules of engagement.
Stacey, are you telling me that they did not have any rules of engagement for protesters?
They did not have any rules of engagement. That's the first thing that I asked.
Oh my God.
What are the rules of engagement?
Yeah.
What are your expectations for these protesters?
Yes.
And they're like, well, and then they got on the phone and then they went and talked. He said, I'll get back to you.
Oh my God.
If you have 50 riot gear police officers lined up against some kids armed with water bottles, then you need to understand, everybody there needs to have the rules of engagement.
Absolutely.
The rules of the escalation of force, absolutely not.
Absolutely.
And I'm a witness because I asked. That's the first thing that I asked.
Absolutely.
And so then I said, okay, well, I heard that there is a curfew. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
at the time that I'm talking about this curfew, it's less than 10 minutes till 8. And I said, okay,
mm-hmm.
what is the plan?
Yeah.
What is your plan to peacefully disperse? And I said, peacefully disperse the protesters at 8 o'clock.
Right.
Because it doesn't seem like they know that there's a curfew.
Mm-hmm.
And so I announced on, and so he said, well, they just need to disperse. I said, okay, well, I'll make an announcement. So I made an announcement starting at like 7:52 or 3. I said, well, the permit's only till 8. And then everybody's like, what do you mean? What permit? We can be in the street.
Absolutely.
No. And so nobody knew about this 8 o'clock curfew, that it was there.
So the people that's there didn't know about the curfew.
No, they didn't.
Now, let me tell you this. Now, I ain't going to say, hold down. Now, big shout out to the mayor. Big shout out to Quentin. That's, you know what I'm saying? He's going to have to come be on the sit down. I got an APB out on the mayor. So everybody that's listening, when y'all hear this, call City Hall, tell him that Earl Belton is looking for him.
Okay.
Stacy, let me tell you this. Now, I'm not saying that he did this on purpose, but trust me, this is one of the questions I got to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You my homegirl. I don't know Quentin like that. I know of him, but I've got years with you. Did you find it awfully damn strategic that he planned the damn conference the same time you planned the conference? Or how did that happen?
Oh, you know what? I thought that you were going to go into when he went down to the protest, which I've got something to say.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk about that, too.
Okay, don't worry about that. Well, I don't know. I thought when I talked to the news, they said that he has press conferences at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's the time that they have them. I don't know because I'm working at 1 o'clock, so maybe that is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But his press conference was inside.
Yeah.
Mine was outside.
Yeah.
But so much of our advocacy is on social media.
Absolutely.
I have the ability to reach, all of us do, the same amount of people as the news.
Absolutely.
The news, after seeing my post on social media after getting arrested, reached out to me. So a lot of times on social media, we are informing the news.
Absolutely.
We are informing the media.
Yes, we are.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I really don't count on mass media because I want whatever I say to be the words out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be edited because I said what I said.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you this, Stace. I'm going to tell you what pissed me off at the conference. It seemed like there was one news reporter that kept on trying to ask you some questions, and you kept calm, and you kept addressing her like this. Oh, we're gonna, you know, I said, look at that right there. I said, my girl, poised right now. But she kept coming back with some questions, and then the brother, who I'm thinking is about to say something real informative, he get on there talking about the damn police. I said, man, what is, I'm like, I wish I could have been, I probably would have threw some water on him. I ain't gonna lie.
Change is uncomfortable.
God.
And then accepting the status quo, we have been programmed that the police are our saviors, that the police are something besides a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
It's literally a job. You get a pension,
absolutely,
you clock in, you clock out.
Absolutely.
Okay, so much of us is conditioned not to question things. And right now is a pivotal time where we are having to challenge everything that we thought
absolutely
of how the police interact with us,
absolutely,
what our government role is with the police and with the public, how we are holding our politicians accountable. I have people in my inbox right now asking me why I'm challenging the mayor. I don't have to ask. I don't say please. I do not say please.
Please.
On behalf of the people that are risking their lives and their liberty, we deserve and are demanding change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's my question to you, Stacy, and I ain't trying to get absolutely personal, but damn it, I'm trying to get personal.
Okay.
All right. Now, Quentin Lucas, our mayor.
Okay.
Have you had a meeting with him?
No.
What?
He was. Now, I will say, he was supposed to call me after I got out of jail. That call never happened.
Okay.
But that's okay. He was busy, I guess. But then yesterday, I did post the letter, the thank you letter that the entire city council, except Catherine Shields, signed, thanking the police for their work during the protest. I did post that on Facebook, and he did respond in the comments.
Okay, so she didn't sign.
No, Catherine Shields was the only person that did not sign the letter thanking the police.
Oh, my goodness.
And we wouldn't have known about it, except that somebody leaked it to the media. Someone took a picture of the original letter that had her name whited out because she refused to sign it.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then somebody posted it on Twitter.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then I said, you know what? When I saw the news article, I said, why would the city council be sending a letter to the police?
Yeah.
So I investigated what the letter was, and then it was thanking them. I said, these are the same people that maced children, that tear gassed me, arrested me, would not refuse to read me my charges, did not read me my rights, held me in custody for 4 hours. Okay?
4 hours.
4 hours.
Hold on, Stacy. Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this arrest, Stacy. Hold on. First off, why were you arrested?
Ooh, let's
What's
get
the charge?
To it.
What, I mean, what did they say? First of all, how the hell are you arresting an attorney for trying to keep the peace?
Oh, I got a story about that.
What?
Because I was standing with the protesters facing the police. When the police gave an order to get on the sidewalk,
okay,
I stepped between the police and the protesters and started walking them backwards.
Oh, wow.
So I held out my hands,
yeah,
and I was moving them all backwards to the sidewalk. So
yeah,
we were all walking together.
Absolutely.
And then as we were walking back to get on the sidewalk, because it was six or seven people deep, so this is not like just a single line of people.
Absolutely.
It's a crowd of people that you're having to walk back. So
absolutely,
I was walking them back. And then the officer said, arrest her. I said, what? My name is Attorney Stacey Shaw. I'm here as a mediator. I am here helping these young people comply with police orders to get on the sidewalk.
Absolutely.
And so they didn't care at all. No, they were not listening to me. I said, I've been working with you guys for 2 days. I've been trying to keep these protests peaceful.
Yeah.
I've been working with Officer Karen. Get him
yeah
on the phone. He can vouch for me.
Yeah.
And then, so they weren't listening or whatever. So I had my little 3-minute phone call, and the only number I could remember was my sister in St. Louis. And
oh,
so I had all of these tasks for her to do, and by the time I could get her to answer the phone, I only had
yeah
2 minutes left.
Oh, wow.
So, wow. And so, man, because
yeah
they don't let you have your cell phone. You don't have a piece of paper,
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
So I told her, listen, I need you to get in touch with my sister Juliana. Tell her to come. Tell her to get the cash out of my drawer. Tell her, because I
yeah
put my bond money to the side.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I got my bond money.
Yeah.
So tell her to get it from my room. Bring it and bring it up here and bond me out of 75th Street. And I need you to call Dom with One Struggle KC,
okay,
and tell her I've been arrested and to get in touch with our legal team. And so then everybody, the police officers are smirking or whatever. And then I went back into the cell, started meditating.
Was there anybody with you from the protest that you got arrested with? Or
oh,
did
yeah
they take you because you was an attorney and just kind of like separated you?
Oh,
they put
no
you with everybody.
Regular smuggler.
Oh,
okay,
God.
Like very regular.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
Couldn't even keep my shoes
ooh
on. They gave me the little slippers. I still have the slippers at my house.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, it regular. And I'm happy because I got the opportunity to experience this injustice like anybody else.
Absolutely.
All of my clients that come in that were arrested for no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, that indignity, I'm just so blessed that I got to experience it firsthand, because so many people experience that same indignity and injustice and their stories are never heard. So
wow,
my bondsman comes and to bond me out. And then when I get out there, he says, Stacey, I went up to the bonding window and I asked them, do y'all know who, I'm here to bond out Stacey Shaw. Do y'all know who Stacey Shaw is? And
yeah
the
what did
said,
they say?
Well, she says she's a lawyer. Oh. So he said, oh, so you don't know who Attorney Stacey Shaw is?
Oh.
And he's like, they're like, no. Oh, this is going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
you ain't going to let this go.
This
is going to end badly for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Oh, no, no, no. And so because, and I realized, and one of the things that I was praying and meditating about, because I was scared, I didn't know if I was going to be able to get in touch with anybody. And if
yeah
you don't bond out, they send you out to Vernon County.
That's what I've heard.
Yes.
So why? Here's the thing. We're on the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
They take you to 75th. Why the hell are they shipping you way out there?
Because they said they don't have room. And so if
they
need that holding cell, because the city council would not improve the jail in Jackson County. So there's nowhere for people to stay
uh-huh
if you can't post bond that night. So you're shipped out to Vernon County an hour and a half away, and then you go to video arraignment. You are not allowed an attorney because of COVID. They have closed the courthouse. And so the day before I got arrested, I had gone up to that same place where I got released on 75th.
What?
And I was trying to meet with a client.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to meet with two clients. They denied me the right to speak with the client.
Hold it.
Yes.
You're an attorney.
Yes, sir.
And they deny you?
Yes.
What was the... I got to hear the excuse
yes
for this.
So
what did they say?
They said, oh, well, we don't have our investigative team. They don't have a right to an attorney until we're about to investigate them.
What?
I said, what? That don't sound right. It sounds like as soon as you ask for an attorney prior to investigation,
yeah,
that I can speak to a client at any time.
Absolutely.
I can come up here at 2 o'clock in the morning and you pull them out of their cell and
absolutely
I can talk to them. And so I'm like, okay, you know what? There's no way that I can access this without seeking a writ from a judge. I'm going to put a pin in this and just see how I can fix that first situation. And I said, you know what? I got another client that I'm checking in on. It's like, oh, well, he's in Vernon County. And so the next day I said, okay, that's fine.
Wow.
So he's going to be seen by the judge in the morning. So we go to the court.
Now, Vernon County is a hell of a ride now.
Oh, yes. And you're in handcuffs.
Oh,
okay.
God.
Yes. Late. So then we go to the court the next morning to represent this gentleman at his initial arraignment. They won't let us in.
They won't let you in to see your client?
They won't let us into the court. And so we say, well, we're here for an arraignment. Oh, it's a video arraignment. And for you to participate, you would have had to be on the Zoom call. But then it takes 2 days to get on the Zoom call. So I said, you are basically denying my client the right to legal representation at a court proceeding where you are deciding bond. And he has a right to be for an attorney to advocate for the reduction of his bond at all court appearances. What is this?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so we went back home. I was like, well, we don't even, because I got the, how I even got this person's name was a man that was arrested next to, he was a white man that was, that is a high school teacher, an ethics teacher at Rockhurst High School.
The guy on your video.
Yes.
What?
And he said, I was arrested next to a 17-year-old homeless African-American man. No one is coming for this young guy.
Right.
Can I hear? He told me his name.
Yes.
Will you go and try to help him? So I said, oh, of course.
Yeah.
So I, that's when I went down and I tried to find out where he was. But by the time I got to the police station, they had already transferred him to Vernon County.
And he was homeless.
Yes. And so since nobody was posting his bond, he got transferred. And then when I went up to the court to check up after him, they wouldn't let us into the court. So, and this is on Sunday. So when I'm getting this information to go check on him, I'm waking people up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
When I'm arrested, when I'm arrested, they're calling my associate, they're calling my staff in the middle of the night.
Absolutely.
Stacy's arrested. She may
need
you.
Let's get it. Let's get it.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Going.
I was like, she's invoked her right to counsel. Sean, get your suit on. We needs to go.
Absolutely.
So, of course, I was denied counsel. I asked for a lawyer. They said, well, we will
hold on.
Address that later.
I don't mean to interrupt you. Hold on.
That's okay.
Say that one more. You being a lawyer.
I asked for an attorney.
You are denied.
Yes.
An attorney.
Yes.
And you're an attorney.
Yes.
How can they do that?
This is why we are holding the mayor, Quentin Lucas,
yeah.
city prosecutor, Linda
yeah.
Miller,
okay.
the presiding judge, Corey
yeah.
Carter,
yeah.
all members of the city council,
yes.
absolutely accountable for
absolutely.
The atrocities that happened to people peacefully exercising their First Amendment rights.
Now, I want to repeat this, and I'm going to say it slowly. Your name is attorney. Stacy Shaw.
Yes.
You are locked up and they don't know who you are. And you're an attorney and you're denied an attorney.
Yes. Because
what in the hell are they got going on?
They didn't even tell, they did not tell you what, you, they didn't tell me I had a bond.
Yeah.
They didn't tell me what my charges were.
Yeah.
I didn't know what my bond or my charges were until I got bonded out.
Come on.
And it was on the bond paper.
Now, wait a minute.
And a bond condition was that I not return to the plaza, which is a public space.
Now, this is what... Oh, see, that's the next question.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, you must be reading my list. How in the hell do you, as a taxpaying citizen,
mm-hmm.
they tell you your bond condition is you can't go to the plaza. How is that legal, Stacey?
It is not. It's absolutely unconstitutional.
But...
That's technically part mine.
Yes.
I own that.
So, this is what I'm saying. I'm not saying, now, you know, I know you're not a rule breaker or none of that kind of stuff, but here's the thing, Stacy. If just so happened, you're riding out 47th and Main,
mm-hmm.
and they run your tag, and it's like, oh, this is Attorney Stacy Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that they can pull you over for some dumb shit.
Yeah. They can pull me over and they can hold me without bond.
Oh, wow.
So and
this is crazy right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy right now.
Yeah, it's really scary. So
you can't take your kids to the firm. Are you telling
no.
me? Are you wait a minute. Wednesdays. That ain't even in the plaza.
They did not, and one of the unconstitutional, there, I mean, it's so wrong. It violates so many rights, but whatever. They, so it's not clearly defined. What is the plaza?
Yes, that's
you know
what I want to know.
They didn't say what, just don't return to the plaza. What does that mean?
Yeah, so, where does it start?
Yeah, where does it start? Where does it end? I mean, it's clearly unconstitutional.
Absolutely.
It's clearly a violation of people's rights, and I'm not the only one. And so many of my clients, because I represent almost, I think, over 50 clients now that were arrested during the protest.
Over 50?
Over 50.
Damn, are you busy, girl.
So, yeah. You know what? I put together a legal task force with other attorneys.
Okay.
And one of the things that people don't realize is that if you are brutalized by the police, we have attorneys representing you in a formal complaint to the Board of Commissioners and the Community Complaint Board. So we ain't letting it go. I just assigned an attorney, a paralegal, law school student, administrative staff person. Their only job is to follow up on community complaints from protesters.
Okay.
That's it. Make sure that we get a hearing.
Make
sure it's in the news. Make sure we follow up, because we ain't letting none of it go.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. You got a platform here to sit down. Whatever you want to discuss, whatever you want to talk about, if you want to come back, if you want me to bring some awareness to whatever it is, damn it, you already know I'm going to do it.
Oh, thank you.
Know I'm going to do it. So, Stacey. Now, can you talk a little bit about this petition?
Because
you sent it to me. I've been sending it around.
Thank you.
I know a lot of people who's been sending it around.
Mm-hmm.
I got so many people that's been sending this thing around.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about this petition and why is it so important? Because I want people to understand why it is important and why we need to keep sending this thing out.
Oh, well, and thank you, first of all, because so much of our advocacy is public pressure.
Yeah.
I'm not having any backroom conversations with judges or city council people. 100% of my advocacy for Kansas City is in public.
Okay.
So it's in public, on public forum, so people can know what's talked about.
Yeah.
So people can hold not only me, but also the people that I'm talking to accountable.
Absolutely.
I want everything to be in public because this is a public issue. And the only reason why we are having an audience is so many people are lending their individual voices as a collective voice to put power, to put pressure against our power structure.
Absolutely.
So everything that I wrote down, I took some time. And I made 8 demands, and I sent them to the city council on June 4th, and I gave them 10 days to respond. 10 business days.
Have they responded?
Melissa Robinson did send me an email and said that she was working on some things like the cash bail system, and Brandon Ellington, Councilman
Shout
Ellington.
Out to Brandon. That's my dude.
Yeah. He is working on getting the charges dismissed against the protesters.
Yeah.
But I had 8 actionable things that I wanted city council and the city prosecutor and the presiding judge to do.
Can you please read those 8 things?
Yeah.
Because I want people to, you know what I'm saying? Because I was about to pull them up, you know what I'm saying? And I really, Stacey, this is how I feel. I really feel that this is the time that we have to understand what's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're being bamboozled. That we don't know what's going on with the city council. We don't know what's going on. And big shout out to Brandon Ellington, man. Big shout out to his mom. You know, man, that I've been knowing Brandon before he got into this thing. I've been supporting him. Me and his mom is definitely close. One thing that I want to say, Stacey, is this has to be put out. And what are those 8 things that you want done?
And I'd like to point out that all of these are actionable.
Okay.
All of them can be done by the city council,
by
the municipal court. So I didn't put anything in my demands that is not completely actionable by ordinance or by an order from the presiding judge. So the first thing is the immediate dismissal of all nonviolent charges against protesters exercising their constitutional rights.
Absolutely.
Number 2 is really important, and nobody is talking about this, is the expungement of protesters' arrest records for said charges. So when you get arrested, even if you get the charge dismissed, then you still have that arrest record showing that you were arrested.
Yes.
Okay? And so when people are applying for security clearances or they're applying for jobs, that arrest record is going to follow them until it is expunged.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay? And then... So one thing that the mayor was talking about was pardons. If you are pardoned, then you have to wait 3 years to get your arrest record expunged under a pardon. Yes.
What?
The only way that you are able to get an immediate expungement of your arrest record is with an acquittal or a dismissal.
Okay.
Okay?
So, why would you say a pardon?
Because no one's thinking about what happens to people that get arrested. It's political. Yeah. Let me tell you, even though we're talking about this, yesterday I violated the terms of my probation. Or not probation, I want to say probation or parole, of my bond. So I violated the terms of my bond to make a speech to protesters on the plaza. It was on the news, so it's no secret. I was there, okay? If y'all want to come get me, then come get me. Y'all know where I be. Okay, so...
She's at the sit-down.
Y'all know where I'm at.
Yeah.
Just come on, you. Forget it. Okay, so... And I brought that letter thanking that the city council and the mayor had sent to the police department, thanking them for their service at the protest.
Yes.
And the reason why I did that was because the mayor had protested alongside the protesters.
Absolutely. And same pictures there.
Yeah, same. And had publicly aligned himself with the Black Lives Matter cause, with these young people. And then a week later, sends a thank you note to the people that were gassing them. And the only reason why anybody would have known, because it was an internal letter. It wasn't a public letter that the city council sent to the police department. It was a private one.
Hold it. Stop the press. Hold it. You telling me there was a letter sent to police officers who was throwing tear gas? Oh my God, we got
It's on my Facebook. Hold on. It's on my Facebook.
I got the letter right here.
And you can tell it's an original because you can see the whiteout on the letter.
Oh my God, there's so the whiteout.
Yeah, not a copy of the letter.
Oh my goodness gracious.
It's on my Facebook page.
So how do you think, this is what I want to know. How do you think the people that's macing you and throwing tear gas at you?
On our behalf, because you're an elected official representing the city of Kansas City, the people of Kansas City. And so, I mean, for protesters, when you are publicly aligning yourself with this group of young people, and a lot of times, by and large, this is the first time they've become engaged in the civil rights struggle. Absolutely. The first time that, I mean, a lot of them are just now starting to register to vote, have never voted, have never become involved. And so this is the first time. If the mayor comes down there and says something, it means something to them. You know, so if you are saying that you are aligned with them, you can't, in a backdoor letter, go and send a thank you note to the police and pander to the other side. It's unfair. It's duplicitous. And so we need to be publicly holding people accountable.
Absolutely.
It would be one thing if it was a public letter signed by the city council, but it was a private letter and nobody would have known about it if somebody hadn't taken a picture with their cell phone
and
put it on Twitter.
From City Hall.
Yes.
By the mayor.
It says, to the men and women of KCPD, from KCMO mayor and council.
Oh my God.
And so people say, oh, well, his signature's not on there. But the day before, he had sent a 2-page letter from him by himself with his signature, 2 pages, thanking them.
Oh, my God. Dude, I hope y'all really listening to this. I hope y'all really listening to this. Because how do you think the people who tear gassed your kids, who maced your kids, who put them under arrest, what type of person does this? And I want to know, how the hell you keep it secret? That's what I want to know.
If you're going to thank him in public.
Just do it
in public. Don't have a closed door deal where then you can be the hero in both circles. This is a time where you have to pick a side.
You can't say
that you are for defunding the police and then send them a thank you note. Those are two different things.
So, Stacey, here's the thing about it.
I got six more demands, too.
We're going to get to the demands. First off, how many people are on this petition you got going on right now?
So far, 7,823 people have signed it.
How many we need? What number do we need? Is there a certain number we need?
I want
50,000. You want 50,000?
I want
50,000. Okay. Stacy says she want 50,000. And you know what, Vail? I need you. Hey, I need you. I need you. I need you. Hit me one more time, baby.
camera.
Yeah, I need you to hit me one more time, man. I got my cousin Phil in here working and staying out with me. So we gonna get back to the 50,000. So what are the other demands?
Okay, the third demand is the immediate modification of existing bonds to remove bond conditions that restrict travel to public or publicly funded places, including but not limited to the Plaza and the Power and Light District.
Oh, so hold it. Wait a minute. So the bond condition says you can't go to the Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell me you can't go to the Power and Light neither?
Some people got a bond condition that said that they couldn't go back to another place like the Power and Light District.
Oh my God.
And so we have been hearing that.
Now, how is that?
I guess wherever you got arrested, you can't go back to.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And so we're still trying to identify all of the people that got arrested.
Okay.
Because we're hearing from people stories, okay, well, this was on this bond,
yeah,
but we need to actually get the client so we can pull your bond paperwork.
Absolutely.
So that, because I know that condition to not return to the Plaza exists because it was on my bond.
Yes.
And so, but I want to make sure that every single person that was arrested has representation.
Yeah.
We have all of the lawyers that are working on this, process are battle-tested litigators.
Stacy, before you read these other demands, forgive me for interrupting you, but I got to do this. You got other lawyers involved with this.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And they are advocating for helping you.
The ACLU has also gotten involved. ACLU and the NAACP.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, before you read these demands, I want to ask you something. The Urban League and the NAACP and two more organizations, I don't know who they are. I just heard this through the grapevine that they're calling for the chief of police to resign. Can you talk about this?
Oh, so many people want the chief of police to resign.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the largest issues in the county prosecutor, Jean Peters Baker, has been vocal about her wanting to prosecute officers in local police brutality cases.
Yeah.
But Rick Smith.
Oh, that's his name. I did have it right. I was about to call his name out. The chief, the one they won't call, named Rick Smith.
Rick Smith.
That dude.
Yeah. And so, Chief Rick Smith, he has been obstructing justice.
Okay.
He has been shielding the officers where there is clear evidence of misconduct, has not been allowing the prosecutor to do what she was elected to do.
Okay.
And make sure that justice belongs to the citizens and the people in Kansas City, not to the police department.
Okay, all right. So this dude is interfering.
And then who do you think had them line up in riot gear? Who do you think gave him the canisters of tear gas?
Yeah.
And so in Mayor Lucas's letter, in his first letter, he starts talking about how it's not the rank and file officers who are at fault for how for their actions. Okay, so fine. We're going to take it away from the individual officer. And
yeah.
So since you're saying that it's just not individual officers acting badly, it's apparently sanctioned.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sanctioned by the chief of police, sanctioned by the board of police commissioners, sanctioned by the governor.
Yeah.
That's who sent in the riot police and are tear gassing children. Okay, that's fine. Cool. I just want to know who's responsible.
Yeah.
And so the first line of defense, fine, let's fire the chief of police. He needs to step down. Because it comes from leadership. Because I can tell you that as Stacey Shaw Law, let somebody be disrespectful or not do their job.
Yeah.
It's going to be a problem. Yes. I used to be known for high turnover. Oh,
yeah.
Where's Sally this week? Didn't work out.
Yeah.
You know?
Bye, Sally.
So as soon as you have that expectation and you have a clear expectation, this is how we're going to treat citizens.
Yeah.
This is how we're going to approach people that are protesting in this turbulent time, very rightfully so.
Yeah.
Here is what our rules of engagement are, and we're going to make sure that nobody crosses that line, that not one person is maced for stepping off of a sidewalk.
Absolutely.
And if you are, you are going to be publicly fired.
Absolutely.
So, but because it's coming from the top down, they have very kindly let us know that they are sanctioning it. They don't have a problem with it. And they're not going to have a problem with it until they're called out in public. That's why we can't be polite.
No, we can't.
We can't say, please stop tear gassing us. That sounds ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And so,
what person says that?
Well, to Mayor Lucas.
Please stop tear gas. I can't sit. Please. No. Come on.
So, to Mayor Lucas's credit, he did ban the use of tear gas against in peaceful protests. I need to see that ordinance. I mean, I've been busy, you know, representing clients. But he's saying
you haven't seen it.
I've not seen it. But if it's public record, I'll look it up before I come back here next.
Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah.
But I think the largest part of this is the leadership. And once the leadership changes, the culture changes.
Absolutely.
I mean, and as a small business owner, the culture of my law firm changed when I changed.
Yes.
And so, I mean, 5 years ago, I was a totally different person. And I had to be humbled. People called me out. People dragged me, whatever.
Yeah.
And so it took radical change for me to be able to have the culture and the business that I have with
Absolutely.
My business right now.
Absolutely.
And so I had that conversation with my staff today. I had to thank them for making me a better leader, for making me a better boss, making me a better attorney.
Yes.
And so, those are my employees always holding me accountable.
Yes.
And so similarly, as Mayor Lucas's and the city council's constituents, we have to make them better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's what we're going to do, Stacey. We're going to come back. We're going to get to those, the rest of the list. Before we do this, how close are you working with the NAACP on this?
Well, I can say that they have asked for the demands of young protest groups.
Okay.
Because they want to make sure that all reasonable demands are met.
Okay. I wasn't even going to ask you, but I'm asking because I'm nosy. The Urban League and the NAACP, who are you getting the most help from?
Well, I've not been in contact with the NAACP. I'm sorry, with the Urban League.
What?
I know that the NAACP reached out to me.
Yeah.
You know, the statewide chapter, like the statewide organization, they actually reached out to me.
Okay.
So, the Urban League hasn't reached out to me. Anybody that wants me to work with them, as you know, anytime anybody asks me for help, it's always, when do I show up?
Absolutely.
What do I need to bring? I don't care. I'll
Absolutely.
Help whoever. And so if they want to join in the efforts, they're always more than welcome because it's going to take all of us to have a solution to this problem. And, you know, when we come back, I was thinking today, because some people are saying that the demands from the protesters to radically change the police department, it's radical.
Okay.
And I wanted to share a story, and I was thinking today, just reflecting, when is being radical reasonable?
Absolutely. Say that.
Okay.
Say
so that. Sometimes being radical is reasonable.
Yes.
When you get gangrene on your toe, the doctor's going to give you two options. Either you cut the toe off or you finna die.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's it.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so that in that particular instance, what that condition has become so poisonous, so harmful to the body, that if you do not take radical action, that is the only reasonable thing that you can do to save your life.
Absolutely.
And so in this case, we can't take incremental action against the police, against the systemic racism and brutality and violation of people's rights that the police not only represent but actually execute every single day. Incremental action is not going to be enough to a gangrenous problem.
Absolutely.
Either you make a radical and reasonable change, or it is going to take the entire thing out.
Absolutely.
And that is where we are right now.
Absolutely. So, hey, this is what I want to do. We're going to come back so Stacey can definitely talk about these demands. She's a busy woman, so we're going to make sure that we touch up on what we need to touch up. And we are going to be an advocate for her right here at the sit down. So you know what? Here's what I need everybody to do. Make sure y'all share the videos. Make sure y'all share this podcast when it comes out. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it's very, very informative. This your man, Earl B. Be right back with Stacey Shaw.